She's done nothing wrong here. How can she be banned from the club? And how is this player getting away with this? Woo!
Come on!
Broader.
Game.
Inclusive.
United.
Real.
Footy. Tackling. The issues.
Behind the game.
Broader.
Game.
Oh, I hope your ears are ready for us. You're listening to The Broader Game with Katie Brown and Alicia Newton, podcast of ProfessionalNRL.com Unprofessionals. Our bosses probably won't like us saying that, but technically it is true, Alicia. I mean, I was vice captain of my high school, so I'm basically a professional, but you didn't even get an ATAR. So there you go, kids. You don't need to be a nerd at school to become an NRL journalist.
Yes, thank you for that, Katie. I really appreciate the sledge nice and early. But yeah, it's true. I didn't get an ATAR, but here we are, and proves you don't need one.
No, you're very intelligent. And if you do see NRL.com articles by Alicia Newton-John, you would know that. That's her nickname. Her nickname is also Silent Assassin for a reason that you will learn during our podcast episodes. She just comes up behind you and gives you a good stab. Anyway, so here we are. New day, new podcast. Everyone's doing it. I'm Katie, probably should tell you a bit about myself, possibly best known for my highly regarded McDonald's drive-thru Person of the Year award. I've been in the journo game for about 5 years and I report for NRL.com. And I think I first found my love for rugby league when I started dating the hooker of the good old Grafton Ghosts back in 2007 or 2008, I think it was.
Got a name?
It's all right. We won't name names on this show. What about you? Are you like how do you want me to introduce you, an NRL 100 gamer reporter?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how many games I'm up to now. I've only been in it for about 3 years. So what would that be? Maybe 60 or 70, including finals, possibly?
So you've had a 50-game milestone.
Oh, yeah, I think I'd be pretty close to that. But no, I am a bit of a rookie in this field, which makes it fun still and exciting in that there's never a dull moment in the game.
I think you're a rookie. Don't talk yourself down.
Yeah, I still feel like it. We'll get into that later. But yeah, I definitely still feel like I've got a lot to learn. And even the people, you know, in this industry that have been here for 10, 20 years still feel like they're not in, so to speak. So,
Who are you, Alicia?
I grew up in Western Sydney, the Mighty West, one of the few that probably does in this office. But yeah, love my footy. And to be fair, that ATAR thing probably comes down to the fact that I focus too much on footy. I'd read Big League instead of, you know, read my books, my maths books and stuff. So that's, yeah, I'm blaming rugby league.
To be fair. That's all right. That's okay. You're a cricketer as well.
Played a bit of state cricket. Humble brag. No, it was just lower grade stuff, underage stuff. So, yeah, play with a lot of girls that are now in that WBBL competition, which is great to see that escalate. And now we've seen, you know, the NRLW kick off too, which is, it's good to see.
It is. We'll learn more about each other over the next few rounds, no doubt. But the big question for our first episode is, why did we create this podcast? Live and breathe footy, both of us. It's our weekdays. It's our weekends. We can't get enough of it. We talk about it to our friends, to our family, to each other all the time. Probably talk about it to ourselves in our sleep. But what we realised is there probably isn't enough about talking about the topics that are behind closed doors, the issues that directly affect our rugby league community and the players, and the broader game will hopefully tackle the weird and the wonderful. We won't hold back, will we?
No. I like the taboo subjects that don't ever get a mention, or it's, you know, it's not something you want to talk about. I think that's something that hasn't been touched, in not just rugby league but sport in general.
So for sure.
Hopefully we can get a few people on over the next few months and see what unravels.
Oh, you just brought me to the perfect segue to introduce our first guest, because we thought we were going to come in with a bang. Our first show, we had to have the biggest name in the game.
There's no better person to welcome us, really, is there?
No. Our boss.
Our boss.
Our boss. Content lead, Ben Cody, is about to join us on the NRL.com, the Broader Game podcast. Okay, well, here he is. Ben Cody joins us in studio. Thank you for getting out of your big dog office and joining us in here to talk about
the corner.
The corner.
If only that was the case, Cody.
No, we do. We really appreciate you coming on. And we sort of wanted to have a bit of discussion this week. Each week we'll have a big hero segment. So this week we thought we'd talk about women in rugby league and the advantages and disadvantages of that. So maybe to paint the picture, you would see advantages and disadvantages in the workplace all the time. But when you hired us, was there a reason why you hired both of us?
Oh, well, that's an interesting story or stories. So look, basically when we started NRL.com, when the NRL decided to take it back from Telstra, we literally started from scratch. So we had to find staff. And that involved quite a lot of interviews, quite a lot of advertisements, quite a lot of interviews that went nowhere. But obviously in the case of both Alicia and Katie, it bore fruit for us. Interestingly, the Alicia was working for the NRL.com when it was under the guise of Telstra ownership. So I spoke to all the people who were involved in there just to gauge whether they were interested in the job and continuing on. And so the first time I met Alicia, she was, as you can tell probably from the way she's spoken so far during this podcast, very low-key, very understated. And the actual first time that I spoke to her, I actually didn't think she was actually interested in continuing on.
That's fair.
Yeah, it was like, you know, and I thought, surely I'm not that intimidating, you know, when I'm speaking to Alicia. But it was after it, she warmed up a bit, and I spoke to a few people, and one of the people who I took a lot of credence in their opinion was Michael Chamis, who I'd obviously worked with at the Sydney Morning Herald and is now working for us as the chief reporter at NRL.com. And I was discussing Alicia with Michael, and he actually said, you know, I've been in press conferences when Alicia's asked a question, and I thought to myself, gee, that's a really good question. I wish I'd thought of that. So that was like, gave me an indication of somebody who thought a bit about the game, thought a bit more about the than just the, you know, how did it feel to score the match-winning try or make the try-saving tackle. And we went on from there. And, she's Alicia. She's been great so far.
Wow. I'll take that.
Katie was a whole completely different story.
And, was I?
Yeah. Well,
I forget.
when we spoke to you, Katie, and, you know, again, we got recommended. So, you know, spoke to some people who we thought, you know, we rated their opinions, and then we spoke to you and everything was good. We thought, yep, Katie would be a perfect fit for what we wanted to do. However, then came the ridiculous salary demand from so basically if we'd met your salary demand, NRL.com would have a staff of one journalist.
Wow.
Katie Brown.
So,
so basically we said, thanks, but no thanks, Katie. But thankfully you came to your senses and came back to us.
Wow. Was it that bad?
It was okay, you are exaggerating. I feel it was really bad. But I remember my colleagues at Channel 7, they said, oh, just do it. Like, if they want you, they'll pay for you. Like, you're getting poached. And so I was like, oh, okay. And then when they said no, I was like, no, but wait, I want the job. Like, hang on. No. And then I didn't know what to do. And then anyway, here I am. The rest is history.
It's kind of like a player, you know, negotiating with a club.
That's right.
Same sort of thing here.
Yeah.
You just...
Oh, now I can totally relate.
So I was just like, yep, I'm done. I'm fine. Yep. I'm in. And you were just like, nah, show me.
Yeah, no, that's right.
Show me the money.
I want more. Yeah.
Oh, well, there's always one, right? So we'll get back on track though.
Yep.
Today's topic is to talk about women in rugby league. People always... I get questions. I know you get questions, Alicia, what it's like to be in this boys' club or dealing with double standards, even things like working in a male-dominated field must come with problems, not being taken seriously. We want to paint a picture for our listeners because we need to give them some context. And I think there's a lot of advantages and disadvantages that we can talk about being a female journalist in rugby league. For the disclaimer, though, let's get something straight. Alicia?
Yes.
Love our jobs. By no means. We keep a list of why girls are better than boys. We really don't have time for that. But in a male-dominated industry, I feel like we could speak about our experiences, good, bad, the ugly. Maybe you could explain us as journalists.
I feel like we're quite neutral. And we don't necessarily just like make up our minds about things. That's me. That's how I see it, especially at NRL.com, where we don't have that agenda. Obviously, we've all got opinions and that sort of thing, but I feel like this won't necessarily be just who's in the right, who's in the wrong. It will explore different types of scenarios, and obviously we're opposite. We'll probably clash
it'll
a
depend.
Fair bit.
Yeah. I feel like it'll, yeah. people will be on your side or my side. It's not in between.
That's good, though.
Ben's here, though. That's why he's here.
To referee.
Yes, yes. And then in terms of our experiences, maybe we could share one of our own. What's yours?
Like negative experiences. Just recently, start of the year, went to walk into the sheds of a team and to do interviews. There was, you know, three other male journalists in front of me, and we all went to walk in, and I was the one that got stopped at the door. No, you can't come in. There's, you know, there's men in there. They're shirtless. They're naked. You know, got a towel around them. So yeah, that's still happening, which is a bit frustrating. But credit to the media manager at the time. They basically come over and really put their foot down and said she's allowed in. You know, this is 2019. So that sort of stuff happened, and it's
I find that stunning that still happened. Yeah. You know, really amazed that a club would have someone employed who would have that attitude with everything that's been happening and all the education that's gone on. But anyway, thankfully the club official was able to take your side on it.
They were great. Mm. I just didn't even have to do anything. I just stood there and was like, oh, so I guess I am going in. Like, but yeah, no, it does happen. It happened to me, I think, in 2017 when I first started. And as a rookie coming into it, I would have been about 9 weeks old, and that really hit me. Like, that was like, wow, you know, you do get treated a little bit differently, but it's you kind of understand too, because there's that care there for player and for person. But at the end of the day, like, I'm sure I've seen worse things before.
Well, majority of the time, I'm sure you would agree on this, that you forget you're even a female in a male-dominated industry.
You do, yeah.
But when things like that happen, you go, oh, yeah. Okay.
It's just that friendly little reminder that you know, sometimes you are still.
I would say unfriendly little reminder.
Yeah, yeah. I was more just like, oh, really? Like, again? Like, come on, guys. But, yeah, it got resolved.
Yeah, and at least you didn't have to stick up for yourself. At least somebody else did it for you and made a strong point of going, hey, this doesn't happen anymore. Are you serious? Like, what was the security guard or the official's reasoning? What did he say?
Oh, it was just that there was players inside that, you know, were getting changed and have just coming out of showers and but that's fine. But at the same time, like, you know, why are you inviting other people in? There's friends and family in there too. So
yeah,
it was just it was all a bit strange.
You're like, I'm 27.
Oh, thanks for dropping.
I'm not 12.
Thanks for dropping the age in there. Yeah. But yeah.
And you have brothers. Like,
I've got brothers. I've, you know, grown up around it. Like, what's the difference? But in regards to, like, women in general, like, you know, there's got to be that. If you're going to be in this industry too, you do need that level of maturity and have to expect that. Like, that's just normal. So I guess that's too what differentiates, you know, whether you do have in your job like this or you're more just like a fangirl or whatever. I'm sure, Ben, when you were hiring us, you kind of were looking for that specific thing too.
Oh, yeah, look, obviously I wanted a mix of people who we hired for the jobs, but it got down to the point of if the person was a good journalist or not. I remember, you know, to pick something out for one of the legends of the game, Jack Gibson, when he picked a young player and was asked, you know, is this person old enough to play first grade? And he said, well, if you're good enough, you're old enough. And my attitude is the same thing. It doesn't matter if you're a male or female or transgender. If you're good enough, you should be getting the job. And I like it that there's a mix of people, both from backgrounds, attitude, and what they do. And obviously gender plays into that as well.
I agree. My experience is I've never, to this day, I haven't had a negative experience with a player or in the NRL. But before, when I worked at Channel 7, I had a negative experience when I was working regionally, and it all started from like a series of texts with a male rugby league player who I let know I had a partner at the time and would frequently not reply. And it ended up that I was away on a netball trip, he was away on a rugby league trip, we were both in the same town. They'd won their rugby league game and we were all staying in the same motel. And I woke up in the morning and I had a voicemail, and it was basically saying things like, come up to my room, get in my bed, let's do a story on the win, like let's get under the sheets, kiss, cuddle. Mm. I feel like you both know where it's going. Yeah. And there's guys laughing in the background and you can hear them like, yeah, partying, whatnot. I woke up in the morning and I just felt so uncomfortable. Like I had already told him that what he was doing was unprofessional, but then I had to go downstairs and face him at breakfast, and I confronted him and I just said, what you're doing is so unprofessional. I had a boyfriend at the time and it makes me feel so uneasy. Can you please not do it? And he just denied that what he'd done. Mm. And so it's not the worst thing in the world, but it was what happened later on and how the club dealt with me that really, really hurt me, because the captain of the team just said, please don't tell the coach. And I didn't have to, because my netball coach, it's a small town, everybody talks. And my netball coach was furious. She went to the coach. The coach then came back to me and he said, look, I've dropped him from the leadership group. I've fined him and I've banned him from a couple of matches or whatever it was. So then working, like I said, in a small town, word gets around. My boss said to me, look, if that was somebody else that he'd done that to, would you report it? And I said, oh, it's too close to home. Like it's a conflict of public interest. Mm. It did got taken off my hands, but the club heard the voicemail. They were disgusted in it. They said, whatever you do, we'll support you. And I said, look, I'm not going to make a big deal out of it, but Channel 7 is going to run something. And that night they just said, like, a player from the club has been fined, sanctioned, whatnot, moved on. But the coach flipped. And after the operations manager told me that I would still be welcome at the club and I wouldn't be treated any differently, the next minute I was banned. I was not allowed to go to the club games. I wasn't allowed to go to club training. I went to a club training deliberately to say, to stand my ground and say, you cannot ban me. I've done nothing wrong. Yeah. And I had the whole squad just stare me up and down and walk me out of the training. And it was so horrible. Like I was so scarred. And Channel 7 were great. They took it to the state body and just said, guys, how can she's done nothing wrong here? How can she be banned from the club? And how is this player getting away with this? So it kind of went for about 2 weeks, and then blew over, and the state body then said, you can't ban this woman. Like she's done absolutely nothing wrong. But what I took away from that was I felt guilty. I felt like I had done something wrong when in fact I'd done nothing wrong. That player has now been sacked from the club from other incidents that he was involved in. And I have since seen the coach, who has apologised because he felt bad about how it all unfolded. And hindsight's a wonderful thing. But, it was a really horrible time, and I'd be lying to say if it didn't affect me.
It's the old, you know, the victim shaming and victim blaming. Yeah. And, similarly, and this was a long time before then, but when I was working at the Daily Telegraph in Sydney, and there was an American journalist by the name of Lisa Olson who was working for one of the Boston newspapers, and a player from the New England Patriots exposed himself to her in the dressing sheds after a game. And she obviously, you know, in her right to do it, and as anyone would, complained to the management. It turned into a big media story over there. But she turned out being the victim in that one as well, because she copped so much abuse from not only within the that football team, the New England Patriots, but also from the fans as well, that she literally could not work in Boston anymore. The paper that she was working for was a News Limited owned paper, and so that she could continue in her career, they actually sent her to Australia. So she had to get out of the American sporting market, because they even, you know, it wasn't a matter of just sending her to Los Angeles or sending her to another big city in America. She had to get out of the whole country just because of all the flack that she was copping over complaining about an abhorrent act against her in the, you know, in the sheds. Yeah. And she moved to Australia and worked out here for 2 or 3 years before,
you know, it was safe, which is a terrible word to use, to go back and continue her career in the US.
That just blows my mind. And that's the feeling of being powerless, right?
Yeah.
I mean, hers is to a way more extreme scale than mine and Alicia's.
Yeah.
But it all comes down to that same thing. And I'm glad it hasn't happened to me in the NRL, but it was a massive learning curve. And I just remember crying. Mm. Like, what? You really question yourself going, what have I done? Maybe I did say something, but we could have taken him to town. Like, we could have given that voicemail to our state news, but you don't. Anyway.
Well, that first year that it happened to me, as I said, I was 9 weeks into it and I just thought, oh, I'm not going to say anything. It was actually the other male journalist that I was with that reported it in the end.
Right.
So I didn't actually bring it up at all because I just thought, oh, just, you know, let it slide. But now that it happened again, I'm a bit different now. I, you know, been in it a little bit longer and I can arc up a little bit and know that.
Thick skin.
Yeah, you do. You grow it. You do. You grow.
How do you both react when the old, you know, what would you know? You've never played the game. Attitude comes your way.
Oh, it's different. It depends on who says it and how they say it, but it all means the same thing. I go, yeah, you're right, I haven't.
I get frustrated when, like, if I'm in a media box and one of the journalists, you know, yells out, oh, who just passed that ball? I missed it, leading into a try or whatever. And if I call out, oh, it was, you know, Clint Gutherson or whoever, they'll believe me, but not really either. They'll try and seek clarification from somebody else. Like that, that irks me because it's kind of like, you know, I do know who it was. Like there's always that second opinion as well. And it's happened a few times where, you know, that person's then just looked across the room and tried to get somebody else to confirm it as well. Like that's irritating.
I remembered an episode with the late Peter Frelingos, who was obviously a very famous league journalist in Sydney, and he was having a bit of a back and forth with a player who produced the What Would You Know? How many games of first grade have you ever played? And he'd said none. He said, but I've also never murdered anyone, but I covered plenty of court trials when in my time.
Nice. See, that's, we knew we got you in here to help us with our comebacks.
But sometimes too, I think it doesn't matter if you haven't played. I think,
Of course, like, it doesn't matter.
Like, as in, you see things differently. Yeah. That a coach might be that's so driven and has played 300 games before might not necessarily see.
Yes.
A lot of coaches do it differently, and some even rely on journalists. You know, I'm sure they read our stories. I'm sure they read. You know, some of the stuff.
That's the biggest lie ever. You know, I don't know. I didn't read that, or I haven't seen that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they all stay off social media, allegedly.
Yeah.
Their Instagram stories are running hot. But what about double standards as well? Have you found yourself in a situation, I guess that's almost a bit of a double standard when they don't believe you, but when, say a male could stuff up something positional-wise, like left centre or wing, and then you say, oh, no, it was... I'm not even making an example here. I'm just sort of jabbering on. Let's say Clint Gutherson, I say, oh, yeah, fullback Clint Gutherson, and then a male says winger Clint Gutherson. He could get away with that. Do you agree that? And then they can go, oh, no, I mean fullback. But if a female says winger Clint Gutherson and then goes fullback Clint Gutherson, you look like an idiot because they think you don't know what you're talking about.
It happened to me the other day. I said Isaiah Yeo. Hurt his ankle because he did a couple of weeks ago, and I had ankle on the brain because Joe Tarpany did his. So I put a tweet out and said, "Oh, Isaiah's been cleared of a serious injury to his ankle," and I had five people straight away going, "Ankle? Wasn't it his shoulder?" But you know, and it's just like the end of the world. I'm like, "Oh, well, obviously, like you know, you change
that,
it."
Yeah,
but that happens all around. I think I wouldn't put that down to being a woman. Like,
no,
you still cop
I
it
think
either
that,
way.
Women are held at a higher standard for making mistakes. I think that, you know, you just see when, if someone like Yvonne Sampson or Erin Molan make a mistake, which is incredibly rare because they're both incredibly professional and great at their job, but the pile on them on social media will be much stronger and much bigger than if it's, you know, a Matthew Johns or a, you know, Matthew Thompson or a Ray Warren.
Yeah, and should it be like that?
No, of course it shouldn't. Of course it shouldn't. No.
You have to work a little bit harder. I do feel like you have to come into it knowing your stuff a lot more.
Sure. Okay, well, just with you talking about Vonnie Sampson being fantastic, she is probably a stalwart of women in sport and being an incredible host. Benji Marshall weighed in on women in the game and their roles, and he sort of agreed that he doesn't think that there's actually doesn't treat them any differently.
Yeah, I put it on him, and I just said, do you talk to him, you know, as opposed to if it's a male, like, does it matter to you? He said, no. Nah. He goes, I'll just treat him no different, which is, as a reporter and I'm sure as a host yourself, like, that's what you want.
Yeah, for sure. Let's have a listen.
Oh, actually, it makes me proud, you know, because two of the biggest influences in my life have been, I've got two mums. I was adopted when I was young, and then I went back to my real mum when I was like 10, you know. So without them, I wouldn't be where I am today. So I think the presence of women in rugby league, it just reinforces how strong my parents were in getting me to where I am. And I think we're lucky. Some of the women got smarter minds than the men, you know. Work with Vonnie and when you see, the thing with Vonnie is you think it's so like rehearsed, but then when you get there and watch her, she is just so unbelievably talented at just getting the right thing out at the right time, and there's no scripts of her what to say. She's just unbelievable to work with. I actually said to her last time I worked with her, I can't believe how, like, on TV you don't notice, but when you're working with you, I can't believe how unbelievable you are.
Yeah, it's refreshing when you hear players of Benji's calibre talk about people like Vonnie in that way. But we'll talk about advantages. Let's talk about advantages of being a female in the game. There's plenty of them as well. We've been very negative, but I find it quite empowering being a female in the rugby league world. And to be honest, kind of hardly ever know that I am a female in the game.
Yeah, there's plenty of positives out there. I think sometimes you do, you know, get to chat to a player. They'll prefer to chat to you than they will to others. And, you know, there's been some scenarios where, you know, you've asked that player because, you know, another male journalist doesn't want to ask that player for a chat. Or
but is that because of your gender or just because of the way you approach them?
Well, I think
that's part of your skill as a journalist.
A bit of both, I think. Depends. Like players are also, they might be a bit more comfortable talking to a woman as well about certain things, especially if it's, you know, tender topics or you know, family related. I feel like there is an advantage there. Not much, but a slight one.
Do you have an example of that?
I have an example when I was in Queensland camp and the journos all agreed to push me at the front when I was just happily going to go ask Josh Maguire a question outside the hotel room. And I sort of went in oblivious. Like, I don't realise until after the fact, because I'm just there doing my job. And if Josh Maguire doesn't want to talk to me, I'm going to have a good crack at him before he tells me he's not talking to me. Right. So I just went in and they're like, yeah, good one, Katie, yeah. And they just jump on the back.
Up,
and then, and I'm, yeah, I'm oblivious. I just, and then afterwards they were like, yes, like, we're going to make you do that all the time because maybe it is because I'm a female. And to be fair, I'm not offended by it, whatever. Mm. If it works in my favour, let's go for it.
I think our veteran champion reporter, Margie McDonald, you know, has been in the industry for how long? 30 years?
At least.
Yeah.
And there was news that broke last year, and I remember some of our guys were trying to get, like, a Darren Lockyer on the phone and, you know, having no such luck. And Margie just picks up the phone, calls Darren, answers within about three calls.
You
know? Yeah. And, like, that's the power, but also, I mean, I'm not putting it down to because she's female, but it's more the relationship she's got with him.
For sure, yeah.
All
those, yeah. Look, it comes down to the trust and how you can, I think how you treat players comes back in spades. You know, if you treat them well, if you treat them with respect, they will do the same to you as well.
For sure. And sometimes it's hard for us to see or have thoughts outside our bubble because we're so in this rugby league bubble. So if people do have questions or they want to ask something left field about us being female in rugby league workplace, please hashtag all abroad on Twitter or at anewts91 or at Katie Brown Oz, because we're always happy to answer questions. But we've got to wrap that hero segment up for today.
Hero is a bit of a strong word, I'd say, Katie.
That's because they are segments on the Broader Game podcast. Thank you, Ben, so much for joining us. We appreciate it. We'll have to have you on later in the year.
Well, if my agent can negotiate a further appearance.
Love your work. All right, listeners, I've got some great news to share. Picture this. 12 nations descending on Western Sydney as the stars of the international game compete over 2 days at the new Bankwest Stadium for the first ever Downer Rugby League World Cup Nines title. Oh yeah, that sounds pretty good. Don't miss your first chance to secure the best seats packaged with experiences to get you closer to the action. Find out more at nrl.com/travel. All right, on this day, what is it, Alicia Newton-John?
On this day, so it's going to be a nice little segment that we bring in each podcast. So basically just a throwback to what happened exactly on this day several years ago. So it could be 20 years ago, 5 years ago, last year.
Ooh, I like it. What do you got for me?
Yeah, so I've reached out to Dave Middleton, who's helped us out here, and we've got the 24th of April, 2008.
All right, 2008.
Cast your mind back.
All right, I was in year 11.
Wow, I don't even remember.
You're year 11.
I think I just graduated. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway.
All right, go.
We've got Bulldog CEO Todd Greenberg has a bit of a whinge about Brookvale Oval surface ahead of the Bulldogs versus Manly game.
Stop!
11 years later and we're still discussing about the surface.
Oh, my God. Wait, that is good.
And NRL CEO now. Lots happened.
Yeah. And Manly back at Brookie this weekend. Got the Raiders. Oh.
Do we think anything's in that surface thing? Like, do you...
Well, it's obviously been happening for 11 years at least.
Yeah. I think it's
it's been happening for a lot longer.
Unless they re-turf it or relocate, I can't see it changing. It's always going to be in discussion.
No, and they talk about it every year and the council have got people in to do different tests and it's all being approved. So the latest injury we saw was Brett Morris earlier in the year from the Roosters, and that was the second time he'd injured himself on that field. So
and hopefully he's back this week for our Anzac Day game.
We will see. We will see. All right, fans, it's your time to shine. That's right. It's fanfare. So this is an opportunity for our listeners to get involved. We have an Instagram page, Broader Game.
Katie, it's the Broader Game.
Oh, of course, there she is. Hi, Nikki. Thank
always,
you.
Always here to correct us.
Love it. Or you can hashtag All Abroad on Twitter and at anewts91 or at Katie Brown Oz, because we want you to get involved. And if there's any question on any topic, nothing is off limits. Should I have said that?
What's the most, yeah, off limits? Or
yeah, I don't know.
No, we're pretty open. Pretty open.
Open book. Hit me with your best shot.
Wow.
Yeah, okay, too far. Okay. Commonly asked question. Alicia, what's one for you?
Commonly asked question, probably like just who's good to chat to, which player, which club is most helpful. So I do a lot of Western Sydney clubs, so I'd be looking at like a Josh Mansour, James Tarmo, newly appointed captain James Tarmo. Yeah, so that's probably a pretty common question.
The two of you fans.
What about you?
Oh, well, everybody knows because I'm a Titans fan and Anthony Don's also from Grafton, so he's one of my favourites. But I would say Michael Morgan's fantastic to deal with as well. I've got a lot of favourites, but I deal mostly with the Queensland clubs. I could go on forever. So I'll leave it at those two as well. But the reason why we haven't obviously asked fans this week is because we're brand new. Nobody has spoken to us yet. Watch this space. Now, for Guess Who.
I love this game already. It hasn't even started yet.
I hate this game already. This is where you make me look like an idiot because I don't know the voice of somebody. I need to see people. That's what I do. I'm video, Alicia.
Correct. But people don't see us, so it kind of makes sense. All right, so I've got basically about 10 to 15 seconds audio I'm going to play.
I feel sick.
About the upcoming game, Dragons v Roosters. You have to guess the player. All right, so we'll play the audio. You only got one chance. Tell us who it is.
Personally, I've never played there before, so it's pretty exciting for me. And it's a ground with history, and some of the greats of the game have played there. And to have such a high caliber game, play to that field is just going to make it a bit more extra special.
Beep! It's Ben Hunt. Is it Ben Hunt?
Correct. It is Ben Hunt.
Thank God.
Second Anzac
Day
game.
I've got like sweaty armpits because you made me like, I was really getting nervous about that. For our listeners, she's going to be testing me out this year. I feel like you've got all the power.
And vice versa. I think if you have a win like you just did then, you can change it on and test me out. It can be a bit tricky to guess players, but also got to test how much we know too.
Yes, because we do love our football. So, yeah, Anzac Day. So what'd you pick that grab for? Or did you just decide to pick a random grab and tease me?
He played pretty well last year in that game. It was 24-8 from memory. So I expect him to have another big game tomorrow, especially against the Roosters, who are flying at the moment.
Everybody's already saying that they're going to be grand final. They'll go back-to-back. And that's a huge call.
I haven't seen I don't remember a team that looks this dominant.
But that's
early.
What everyone's saying.
Yeah.
And there's no reason to think otherwise.
Yeah.
They cannot put a foot wrong.
They're just in third gear at the moment.
And they did this last year too.
Did. Yep.
Because they're testing things. They're so smart. Trent Robinson is honestly incredible. I mean, there's so many great coaches and you can't look past Wayne Bennett and Craig Bellamy either. But what he's doing at that club and the things, I guess what I'm trying to say is he's so meticulous with how he does his structures and gets inside his players' heads. Even when he was talking earlier in the year about Latrell Mitchell and playing in the halves, he was always, we've always had him working doing
but when
that.
When you talk to him too in a press conference, he'll look at you, he'll think of the question you just said and he'll give you a massive response, well-thought response. Whereas a lot of other coaches are just kind of give you a bit and then brush it. That's flag it. He'll actually give you a lot of insight, which is good.
Definitely. All right, cool. All right, for our listeners, to wrap things up on the Broader Game podcast, we have our hot take of the week. So I think we should make it Anzac Day specific.
Yeah, let's.
Very special game in this round. And I think it's great to remember more than just football. Let's remember the Anzacs. And the last post is always incredible. It's such an emotional day. And it's good to pay our respects to the people who fought for us.
Yeah, I've never covered it, a game, especially going to be at the SCG. I'm spewing. I'm not rostered on. Thanks for that, Ben. But... yeah, my tip, I'm going to go for a James Graham Anzac Day medalist. They give out a medal for, I reckon, the Englishman.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's probably the wildest hot take ever, but.
Is it too cliche to say Corey Norman will kick the winning field goal because he's already done that this season?
Happens in threes too, and he's done two, so.
Oh, my God, I'm onto something.
Yep.
Here we go. And it's also his first time playing in an Anzac Day clash for the Dragons, so it's going to be huge for him.
They're working really well, Ben Hunt and Corey Norman.
Ooh, you're onto something, my friend. I like it.
And I'm very, very, cautious of that sort of stuff.
You love your stats.
Yeah, and things happen in threes for me, so not that I'm a Dragons fan, but, I reckon... definitely before the season finishes, he'll kick another field goal to win a game.
Oh, yeah, before the season finishes, for sure. Okay, well, that's a wrap from us. Great job for first week.
That went pretty quick.
I mean, I'm just speaking on behalf of both of us, but our fans and listeners probably going, what the? Anyway, we're back again, so make sure you subscribe to the NRL podcast on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts from. And remember, on Instagram, we're at The Broader Game, or you can hashtag All Abroad on Instagram or Twitter, at ANewts91, at Katie Brown Oz, just giving us all the plugs in the world. But thank you, really, for tuning in. And any questions, drop us a line. Thanks for tuning in.
See you next time.
Bye.